coming together of feast and reading from the liturgy today, that we have this Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 10, famous, about Martha and Mary. In the monastic tradition, this Gospel was the one read out at the Feast of the Assumption. And there was a tremendous insight there about that. And it might be worth us trying to understand what this is all about, if we can. She had a sister named Mary who sat beside the Lord at his feet, listening to his word. Now, they translated listening to him speak. Of course, he spoke. But she wanted to hear his word. She wanted to hear him. Why? Because she loved him. And you see, Martha running around and Mary sitting still, well, why didn't she go help her? And that's not the issue. The issue is love. The very depth of our being, we tend toward God. And God, in his love and mercy, organizes our life in such a way that little by little, we come to realize that I'm only made to love God. Now, plenty of things flow from that. I mean, think of some of these very active saints. My goodness, look what they did. Look at Mother Teresa. But at the heart of our being, we're called to love God. This is not far from the text we just had about the what's the greatest commandment and why is it the greatest. And because if you love God with your whole heart and soul, your mind and your being, you will love your neighbor as yourself. Because that's what God does. In fact, Jesus preferred us to himself so that we would not be without him in darkness for eternity. He preferred our good to his glory, comfort, radiance. He came among us. He put up with all the things that we put up with, tired, neglected, rejected, you know. Disappointed and pain. He preferred us to himself. And there's something there that is at the very heart of our being. Now, God organizes our life in such a way that little by little we come in contact with that place in us where the Holy Spirit dwells and where the Holy Spirit moves us, you know. There's a text, it's in St. Augustine, and then it's quoted by St. Thomas, about the gift of wisdom. And in the gift of wisdom, as in every act of human knowledge, a word proceeds within us, you see. It's a wonderful, beautiful discovery of the act of cognition made by St. Augustine and followed by St. Thomas. And in the gift of wisdom, you see, there is this resemblance. And so the text goes, and in this act of knowing, this loving act of knowing, a word proceeds, but not just any word, a word breathing forth love. Now, the Lord wants to move our life to get rid of the clutter, get rid of the self, get rid of the sin, get rid of the junk, so that we can be who we were made to be, to love God, to really love God. You know, we often say, well, you know, if you love God, you do his will, of course. But isn't that true of every love? If you really love somebody, don't you want to do what they want? Of course. So it isn't like you do God's will, so cut out all that junk and do his will, then you love. It's deeper than that. It helps, my gosh, when we're starting to get out of sin and move toward God. Anything helps. But the notion is, you see, on this feast of Our Lady, you know, to look and see, there's a class act, you know. There is someone in whom the very depth of her being realized its full potential. And God saw to it. First, she was immaculately conceived, and then the Holy Spirit just moved in her, moved in her. That's why this gospel, which just happens to be the gospel today, is such a wonderful example. Mary sat at his feet and listened to his word. Love. Love. Only one thing is necessary. What's the one thing necessary? We better find that out, right? Love. Does that mean Martha wasn't loving? Sure she was. But there are depths of it, you see. And this notion that I could be aware of myself loving God and know that it springs from that place at the very depth of my being where the Holy Spirit is moving, forming, bringing me to who God made me to be, to love God. That's the one thing necessary. And then, do whatever you're supposed to do. Whatever that is. Be like Marthe Robin, you know, who didn't eat for 20 years. Nothing. Lived on the Eucharist. Had the stigmata. You know. Or be like somebody else. We don't really know who the holiest people are, right? You need a program to tell the players, and there isn't one. Only God has that. But we do know that to listen to Jesus and to just let him move our life. Sometimes by inspiration inside of ourselves, we just don't do this, don't do that. Sometimes it's just the way our life goes. And to know that that was designed exquisitely by God the Father, personally, by God the Father, to bring us to a perfect love. And that's what we're made for. And so you see this text, so there's need of only one thing. The one thing is love. But love of God, of course, you know, our Lord says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Now, he's not saying, you know, what shall I say? Here's the high jump bar. If you get over it, you love me. And if you don't, tough. No. He's saying, my love in you is a force. And if you yield to that, you'll see the results. You'll be doing my will. It's like doing the will of God is a flower. And if you see the flower, you can conclude to the fact that there must be roots. If you find yourself moving more and more and desiring more and more to do the will of the Father, then you can conclude the love of the Lord is at the depth of your being. Moving you. It's not a high jump bar. You see, it's a fountain of life springing up to life eternal. And so, every chance we get, we want to listen to the Lord. Hear his word. Now, as it reminds me, I got to watch the... Whoops. I'll just tell you this very short story. Teresa of Avila and John of the Cross were talking. And they had a friend, a friar, a Carmelite friar. And Teresa said, did you notice... Fray Juan, the superior gave him this job where he hardly has time to say the office. You know, he's working all day long. But he does it with such love. that he's made more progress in prayer than all the guys who have hours every day. Interesting, huh? This great mystic who said, gosh, when I finally caught on after wasting 20 years of religious life fooling around, when I finally got it, and she did fool around. She wasn't in sin. I mean, like, big sin. She was wasting her time. And the Lord, I remember the whole story, and I think he showed her hell and said, look, that's where you could go, you know. And she got religion. That would happen to all of us, I would think. And when she finally started to pray then, you know, she said, you know, the hourglass they'd have for their prayer. She said, I spent about the first month or so, I'd spent all my time watching that hourglass. Now I got it. And I want to tell the whole world, pray. Pray. Be in touch with the Father. And he will change your life. That's the one thing necessary, is love.